On this episode, the offseason rolls along with TD Atlantic proposal of changes to Paul Campbell, no longer an Argonaut, and we chat with Argos linebacker Enoch Nwamba. Crack those drinks, Argos fans. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hello, everybody. Hope the offseason is treating you well. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
How's it going, everybody? I know the offseason's been treating me crap. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, The Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, on Instagram at The Double Blue Order. Get your Double Blue Order merch, including the Law Firm t-shirt, available for at least one more season at DoubleBlueOrder.ca.
I mean, it is the off season, so there's a whole bunch of little things we gotta talk about. Not the least of which is the Argos season opener. They've got a pre-sale going on for all of the season ticket holders. Tickets as low as $25. Sit with us in the end zone. Just use code PULL together. And I'm sure we'll talk about that some more during this show. Oh, well, we're into the strange season where we have all kinds of weird things to talk about that, well, we're not the biggest experts in. The combine happened. The draft is coming up. And, well, we've got some CBA negotiations and some stupid football business that goes on. But first, we're joined by Enoch Nwamba, who is a CFLPA executive, a broadcaster for CFL.ca and Argos.ca, a fundraiser, a father, motivational speaker, podcaster, and oh yeah, he does play some football as well. Welcome to the Fancast, Enoch.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Now, right off the bat, how do you find the time to actually do all these things? You're every time we turn around, we're seeing something new that you're doing on social media. Is there like four of you?
Unfortunately, no, there's only one of me. But to answer your question, though, I have a great support system around me. My wife, starting with my wife, she, you know, plays a huge role. She really allows me to be who I am and allows me to be able to, you know, reach out to so many different areas and continue to grow in different places of my life. And I have a big why in my family, my daughters. And so, you know, whenever I speak, I like to tell people, like, find your why. And when you find your why, it'll allow you to be able to overcome those days that might be the toughest, right? Because sometimes we think that it's just our passion that's going to help us get through. But the truth is that some tough days is going to require a true and a big why. And one of the things that I found out about my whys over the, you know, the course of my life is that when you find a why that is deeper and bigger than just yourself, you tend to go further, right? And so my why is absolutely, you know, my family, the people I care for, and, you know, really just having an impact on the most amount of people as I can.
Okay, you already started off with the motivational speech. I'm ready to go. Let's get into some football talk. I mean, you know, we're glad you're playing for your hometown team, but you've been doing an absolute just about everything for this team lately. And I mean, you represented them dealing with the free agency day, and now you're representing the league at the combine. How was that experience? Because I know you wanted to do that in 2020, and it didn't quite happen. How was it doing that with Marsh this year?
It was amazing. So the league had reached out to me in 2020. The truth is, actually, since 2011, after, you know, I had an amazing combine and I aced it thanks to, you know, the people that went ahead of me and came back and just told me really everything I should look out for. When that happened, I had the opportunity, obviously, to do really well. And the following years, I would help out as many guys as I could go through the combine process. And when I did, I started reaching out to the league. And sure enough, you know, it was just a matter of making it work out. And it was tough, obviously, just because the combine is so particular and so precise with regards to everything starting and finishing. So, you know, it didn't work out, but thankfully the league reached out to me, you know, like I said, 2 years ago, and then obviously it got canceled, but this past year, and it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And again, like, I've been at the combine before, my own experience and personal experience, but to see the combine the way that I saw it this last time was amazing. And I really enjoyed it. So they said they would love for me to come back again next year, and I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I was interested to see that the Argos actually asked you to be in on the player interviews. What was that experience like being on, you know, obviously on the other side of it?
It was definitely interesting, right? And like I said, so I already had a great experience with the, you know, the prospects. I had a chance to speak with them starting on, you know, opening day. And so the fact that I was able to do that, I kind of developed some relationships with them. And then they were able to see me again when, you know, when we did some of the combine interviews, obviously with the Argos. And yeah, it was amazing. You know, I was able to see exactly how things work, the questions and the behind the scenes, if you will, from the coach's perspective. And, you know, who knows, that could be in my future as well. And, you know, why not get a little bit of experience while I'm still playing? So it was really cool. I have a great relationship with Coach Mace, our new defensive coordinator. And so, you know, I get along with him very well. So to be able to stand by him, to kind of see how he operates and the kind of things that matter to him was a neat experience for sure.
Okay. Just a quick little thing here. Obviously you were at the combine, you were taking a look at all the prospects that are going to be coming up. Is there anyone that caught your eye that immediately in the back of your head thought, you know what, I would love to line up next to this guy?
I like this Tyrell Richards. He was one of the guys that, you know, not just the Argos, but a lot of the, you know, coaches, and that's the benefit of being around for as long as I've been and having had so many different coaches. I, you know, got to chat with a lot of them, and a lot of them were saying that, you know, raving about him. You know, he's a very versatile player, playing on defense, and obviously also though what he brings to the plate as far as a special team player is probably one of the best, that if not the best, for this combine. And it was really cool to see. There were definitely some other guys that you know, were turning heads and caught people's eyes. It was a great experience overall.
Now moving to the actual team, you know, we've got a new defensive coordinator. You said you're very familiar with him, and I think being in those interviews probably gave you even a little bit more of an insight as to how his mind's going to work for you. What are you looking forward to in this next in 2022.
Man, I'm excited for the challenge. You know, I think at this stage of my career, I just look forward to challenges, right? And this is beyond just the game of football. I think it develops me as a human being, develops me as, of course, an athlete, and it develops me as a leader. And so I'm looking for the challenge of kind of, you know, creating that relationship between players and coaches and new teammates that are coming in and kind of gelling together. And I've been having some great conversation with, you know, Max throughout the offseason about how we want to approach this season and, you know, certain things that we want to establish with the team. And I see Coach Dinwiddie when I'm at the facility as well. So I get a chance to talk with him. And I talk to Penn as well, you know, throughout the offseason. And just the challenge of bringing the guys together. I'm excited about it because we have a very talented team. And, you know, really the sky is the limit when we finally figure things out and we do gel. Expecting to.
Now, before we know you're a busy man, so we don't want to take up too much of your time. But as we're getting ready for this year, I noticed you were doing some fundraising for a charity and I was wondering if you wanted to tell everybody a little bit more about it and exactly where you guys are on your fundraising drive.
Absolutely. I'm affiliated. I've started working with, you know, I joined the LLSC. It's the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. They reached out to me about this initiative and a fundraiser to raise awareness as well as funds for the blood cancer community. And they didn't really know my experience with leukemia as a whole. And, you know, up until the point that they reached out to me, which was around mid-season, you know, my only experience was with my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law passed when she was 33. And, you know, her life was just a testament to love, to joy, to peace. And she was an amazing human being and who was taken way too soon by this horrible disease. And, you know, as soon as they reached out to me, I jumped at the occasion. I obviously mentioned it to my wife, and she was also excited to kind of join the team. And and then recently as well, my great aunt was, you know, diagnosed with myeloma, which is another form of blood cancer, and with myeloma. So it's something that I'm pretty passionate about. It's definitely something that I'm excited to embark on. Our campaign started on March 24th, and it's going to go all the way until June 10th. And just excited about what's coming ahead. I have an amazing team that I'm working with, and we created a mantra it's called Be the One. And Be the One is basically something that calls and that allows for an opportunity for people to take advantage of. And so I haven't been, you know, playing for so long. I remember earlier on in my career listening to one of my vets say this, and he would say all the time, and now I say this like maybe once a year at some point during the season, that the play doesn't care who makes it, right? The play does not care who makes it. And so oftentimes you'll be on teams where some people are so accustomed to, quote unquote, the stars to always make the plays and the bigger names to make the plays. And when you have teams like that, then, you know, there's people that miss opportunities because they're waiting for somebody else to make the play. And in the same way, the campaign that I joined with the LLSC, the Men and Women of the Year, is an opportunity for anybody and everyone who does hear about it to, quote unquote, make a play, to participate and to make a contribution against this battle against cancer. And so I'm extremely excited about it. And sometimes it's intimidating to think about, hey, you know, I have this battle is so it's enormous. It's hard. What is my little contribution and what is my contribution? What kind of difference is it going to make? Well, it's in the same way on the football field. Sometimes you can't
you can't underestimate the impact of a contribution. It could be just a tackle that a specific player may make, but it will change and impact the game. And this is saying in the same way, you know, we're inviting and we're encouraging and, you know, we're trying to engage as many people as possible, regardless of the type of contribution, you know, one can make to do just that. And so it's an exciting campaign. It's an exciting fundraiser. And like I said, it's going to leave a mark and it will leave a great impact for people who have been affected by blood cancer. And as well, it's going to help support researchers who are tirelessly working to find a cure against blood cancer.
And I'm assuming they can just go to bloodcancers.ca to donate.
So it's the LLSC. Again, it's the LLSC.ca, but all the information is really on my social media. On my Instagram, there's going to be a lot of information. I want to really get people to kind of, like I said, get engaged and get corporations to get engaged as well. And my social media on Instagram, it's he_whoknocks. And, you know, my Twitter, it's Mwamba Enoch. And at the end of the day, like I said, through there, there's going to be a lot of information coming out over the next few weeks about various challenges, various opportunities, not just to give, but also to get involved. And so I'm pretty excited about that and excited about the team that we have rallying together.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we'll definitely watch your socials for more of these challenges and events. And, you know, we'll be definitely pulling for that. Thank you very much for joining us on the Fancast. And man, we're going to have to get you back when we got a little bit more time to talk, because I think we probably could have talked for a long time here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We should definitely do this again sometime.
All right. Thank you very much, Enoch.
Thank you, Enoch.
Thanks, Enoch.
Thank you for having me.
And that was our conversation with Enoch Mwamba, Argos linebacker. And, well, pretty much everything else, broadcaster, I guess, fundraiser, philanthropist, analyst.
Potential front office stuff.
Interesting. And you know what? Like, I knew a little bit about that, his drive for the blood cancers, but I didn't, you know, like you kind of mentioned, Will, during that interview, kind of privately, I didn't know it was to that extent that affected him.
No, I did not. Or if I had known it at some point, I didn't remember.
No, like I didn't know there was multiple members of his family. I heard briefly of the of his sister-in-law, but you know, I didn't know there was more than just her. But yeah, so we'll get those links are posted up on well, Enoch's socials and our socials as well. So get out there, donate and help Team Enoch. Well, the other thing that he did talk about that, well, not our area of expertise, although, you know, have attended a few combines. The combine happened a little while ago. It kind of gives us a good idea of who we might draft. And I think that there's, you know, a couple twins put on a big showing. Quarterback from Waterloo, Trey Ford, and his brother, DB from Waterloo, Terrell Ford. If you go to the cfperspective.com rankings of the workout scores, they amalgamated all the things that they do, have Trey Ford ranked out at number one. And his brother Terrell Ford from the National Combine ranking out at number five, number six for all the National Combines, including the Ontario East, West, and all the regional combines. I know, Will, you didn't pay attention. You're the history guy. But this kid, Trey Ford, quarterback, he's got some NFL aspirations. Both those kids have some legit NFL aspirations. Would you take a flyer on him in the draft?
It gets so... I mean, I don't know how interested this regime is in carrying a Canadian quarterback. I mean, they had Michael O'Connor, I guess, at least initially, and they really didn't... I mean, we don't really know what went on there, but I just don't see... When it comes to Canadian quarterbacks, I just don't see anybody giving them a legit shot.
Other than BC, of course.
Right. Well, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, this guy's, you know, I know the quarterback crop in the U.S. isn't fantastic this year, but he did head down to the University of Buffalo Pro Day. Was allowed to do showcase some workouts there for some NFL teams. And from all intents and purposes, he tested out just as well as any of the quarterbacks in the NFL draft. So, I mean, if you've got a guy who's got legit shot, I mean, he probably is going to get looked down on because of his passport. But, I mean, this kid, you know, regardless of his Canadian status, sounds like he may be the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Sure does. I honestly, if the NFL doesn't come calling for this kid, I'd say take a shot, because you never know. I mean, that's most drafts are crapshoots anyways.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go first round on him.
Oh, not unless he's got no legit offers down there.
Exactly.
But I mean, even if he's got a futures contract or becomes the second Canadian schooled quarterback to play have a legitimate shot in the NFL, I may still throw in a late round pick just so you can get his rights. You know, they do that from time to time, guys that have legit NFL aspirations and come back and end up coming back. Some of them do, some of them don't. Apart from that, I mean, that's about as much as the combine as I paid much attention to. But the other thing that revolves around the combine that comes up every year and usually a little bit more so in years where the CBA is coming due is proposed rule changes. And the one that happens every year.
And what has for like the last few since the pandemic started?
Oh, I
or even or has it gone?
I think it's even further back, you know.
But I mean, like, it's only received like major attention like now.
Yeah. So they've talked about the four downs. They've talked about the 100-yard field, all that stuff. Thankfully, we don't have to really figure out whether that's something that we're going to die on, because they said flat out.
Not this year.
Yep. They're not ruling it off the table.
Just not this year.
Yeah. And I'm almost convinced that this whole possible going to four downs thing is a you know, kind of a red herring that's kind of put out there. You know, somebody's designated to leak it, you know, every year. So I think it's a conspiracy that they're doing this to divert the attention on some of the other things that they maybe want to do. And when those things come out, then, hey, that's not such a bad idea. But don't do that one. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. My view of it is, I just think the people who are trying to convert here are just going to move the goalposts. You know, I just
which as an aside could be a possibility anyway, but continue.
I just feel like 4 years, four downs, like they'll just find another thing to hate on.
Yeah. I mean, if, you know, we're looking on the things that I think the CFL needs to keep, 3 downs is definitely one of them. It does make a difference in the game. However, if that 3 downs is the hill that you're going to die on and the league is going down with you, I'm not on that hill with you. That's
you guys, really where you, whoever's doing that can get up there and see the sniper glint from the hundreds of snipers that are going to take your ass out pretty freaking quick.
Yeah.
I'm not going up there.
It's just, you know, like what? Is there any market research that supports moving to 4 downs would be all of a sudden create thousands of new fans?
No.
We're dealing with people who unsolicited, anytime there's a CFL article anywhere, say, oh, nobody cares about the CFL.
Well, clearly, you know, they cared enough to comment on it.
Obviously.
Yep. Now, okay, you know, that's a negative part about all this. But yeah, I did a little bit of digging into, you know, exactly what they're doing this year, as far as what they're actually talking about and things like that. And what the CFL did was actually reach out to all the teams and say, hey, look, we want to improve the game. Submit your ideas. And we'll figure out which ones are viable and that. So they received over 80 suggestions from the teams. And they've kind of whittled them down to about 12 to 15 that they're actually going to talk about, some that they have to, you know, bring into their CBA negotiations, some that they can, that looks like they're probably going to make the change. The biggest one would be the hash marks moving. They're going to be a little bit narrower. They're not going to be as narrow as the NFL. What they're looking at is sitting them just outside the goalposts, but that's going to give you a little bit more even room on each side, a little bit more room for the short side wide receiver to work. That's the likely.
I like that idea.
Yeah. The whole idea this year is just to, they want to improve, what makes the Canadian game exciting is the big play offense and the special teams. So one of the other things that they've proposed and they talked about moving the kickoff back 5 to 10 yards, and it looks like they're leaning more towards 10 yards. So you're
kicking it off from the 25?
Yeah. And so you're going to have your offense starting in a little bit better of a position just on average.
Yeah.
you know, it's going to open up that playbook a lot more for most offenses.
So these are things I can live with.
I think these are great ideas.
Yeah, I just don't think going to four downs is going to be the greatest thing, unlike someone we know.
No, going back, the four downs thing is, I think that's got to be for me. If you're, it's the difference between the league dying and the league staying alive.
Yeah.
That's where you would get me on the four downs. Other than that, saw Dave Naylor and Farhan Lodge mentioned they're looking at some timing tweaks. Because the way things have gone, that 20 second clock isn't really 20 seconds. It's more like
a minute. 50. It's more like a minute.
Yeah. They've
especially when you're coming off a bloody TV timeout and you got the fat fucking red waiting for them to say, okay, go ahead. Then he's got to sprint off the field, go right to the oxygen bottle and start sucking wind. And then we can finally watch a game again. I'm sorry, but the whole pride that we had was the fact that we were a faster game than our southern neighbors. That has gone way out there. It is now, our game is slowed down considerably.
I know where you were going. You stopped short. But the probably is gone. Somebody actually went and timed out between plays between the CFL and the NFL. And right now, between play in the last 2 years, the between plays in the NFL is shorter than the CFL, despite the massive difference in play clock. So,
yeah, because they don't run the clock while the teams make their substitutions.
Yeah. So I think you got to figure out a way to speed that up. And the last thing that they're going to talk about, and it's going to be part of the CBA, is the ratio rules. Looking at re-examining the naturalized Canadian or American veteran rule, where they don't count as Americans, or they could count as Canadians. The league and the PA had two different interpretations of the last time they agreed on something. And they're looking to re-examine that one. And the other one that was proposed that seems to have some traction is right now we have seven Canadian starters. There's no specificity on where those Canadians have to be. The only one that doesn't count is quarterback. But there's been talk about three Canadians on each side must start, or three people that qualify as Canadians on both offense and defense. I don't think it'll make much of a difference, but for a couple teams, it might.
You're probably right. I don't personally know exactly, because I don't know the ins and outs. Don't know the ins and outs of everybody at the moment.
No, I mean, well, you think. I mean, just think about the Argos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for at least 10 games, we had Enoch, and I believe it was seven or eight games where him and Cam Judge were both starters.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong, but I mean, you've got two right there on defense. We had a We usually start a Canadian on in somewhere in the secondary. On the defense, you've got you know three right there, and usually sometimes one of those Canadians ended up starting on the defensive line.
You get Royce Metchie, you'll get Henock, and then you'll probably get. Well, I mean, Achiampong probably has the inside track for that one defensive tackle spot.
Achiampong, and then you've got Arjan Colhoun on the corner. Right, like we've got a lot of we've got depth.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think that something like that is going to affect the Argos. But you go to, I mean, I haven't really looked at the rosters and just, but you know, there are teams where they're likely starting four Canadian offensive linemen and a Canadian receiver, and those are their
and that's it.
Five of their seven starters right away. You know, so you know they may only have one Canadian starter on defense, and you know, depending on who it is, you know, or where who you're playing, depends on who's lining up. Right, so I think it'll make a difference, but I think the biggest difference with the ratio stuff is they figure out how the, you know, naturalized Canadian rule would be, or redefine what a Canadian is.
Well, this got awkward.
We released Jamal Campbell.
Yeah.
And on today's episode of The Shitty Side of Football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salary cap related, it must be.
Yeah, there was a report about a large off-season bonus. Another one of those.
Yeah. Which only seems to get reported when it comes to the Argos, mind you.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But at least this time we can say that he didn't go to Hamilton this time.
No, he signed with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That is acceptable to me.
But there's still they will love him out there.
Still a couple of very frustrating things with this, though. I mean, number one, he was a great guy in the community, homegrown. And again, you know, we kind of got, you know, he was a development project. It did take a few years to get him in a starter position. And, you know, once he finally kind of is finding his way, he gets released. But, you know, at the end of the day as well, it's hard to justify paying, you know, right tackle in that.
Yeah. I hate this part of the damn business. Like, I understand it's a business move, but the kid is playing football professionally because of the Toronto Argonauts. The Toronto Argonauts bankrolled the football program to come back at his high school. He got into football because of this team. Like,
yeah,
like I business, yes. Personally, I never wanted to see that guy in any other uniform.
But here he is.
Period. I you know, that was the guy. If you could put things aside, you know, that was the guy. That was the guy that you wanted as the face of your franchise. Just because he was fully homegrown, not homegrown that, you know, he grew up here and went to school in the GT. No. The Argos. The Argos planted that seed, watered it, and developed it. Like,
yeah. It seems like the only thing he did wrong was not playing the left tackle position.
Yeah. Or, you know, accept a very good contract for him, which I think he deserved.
I always thought that he was going to be an Argo for his whole career. And he should be. And he should be an Argo for his whole career. Simply because of the fact that he is like this, like the back, the off field traits that he has, not just his commitment to the community. I'm talking about the fact that he is a product essentially that he of the long term investment of the team.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why we're not GMs, right?
Especially in this, well, in this case, we wish we were.
Yeah.
It's good to have GMs.
No, we would
be sentimental.
No, we would probably. I don't think I would build a great team. I have too many heart picks instead of head picks on there.
Oh, I think that's going to be like that for any one of us, not just you.
No. Now you go talk to Ben Grant over the X's and Argos, and I bet you he could probably do it. He would hate himself for some of it, but he could do it.
JB would be fine with it.
Yeah. On other Argos news, Argos signed some dudes.
Yeah, it's always dudes. Good.
Four dudes to be exact. American wide receiver Isaiah Wright. American DBs Deion Harris and Maurice Carnell IV. Wright most recently played with the Washington Commanders, at that time the Washington football team, in 2020 and 2021, played in 14 games, tallying 27 catches and 97 yards. Harris last spent time with the XFL DC Defenders. And Carnell IV played 2019 to 2021 with the Ticats. Saw action in one game and actually spent a week with the Argos in 2018.
Interesting.
Oh, more guys. And then we also inked an American defensive lineman, Connor Flagel. Played with the Ottawa Redblacks. And it's a big man, 6'5", 296. So he'll fit with the height on that defensive line. Mm-hmm. Will's back.
Yeah.
the annual Argos will play a game not at BMO, play a home game not at BMO Field.
Of course. It's
back on again. TD Atlantic is happening.
Now, before you continue, there is a little bit of a tie-in to this. Right. There is a little bit of a tie into this between the between the dudes we've signed and where this game is going to be played. Allow me to explain. The Argonauts signed a gentleman by the name of Matt Gledhill. Okay?
Oh, yes.
He played, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the top wide receivers in the AUS. He played for Acadia.
Oh.
Touchdown Atlantic this year is going to be in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, at Acadia's home field. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I would say he would have to be on that depth chart. Don't you think?
Yeah. It's definitely
It's too much of a, it's too much of a coincidence for it not to happen. For it's got to happen.
Well, I mean, he's got three guys in front of him on the depth chart, but they probably will be looking to replace Levi Noel in some fashion.
Yep. Well, TD Atlantic, like you said, is going to be played July 16th against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, home of the Acadia Axemen. And had too much time to think about this, and I'm still not convinced that this is necessarily the best choice.
No, I don't like location.
I fully understand the rationale, but there is going to be a lot of temporary stands there, and not a lot of lodging.
No.
Not much in the way of hotel space.
I can guarantee you most of whatever's there is already booked up for that weekend.
Yeah. It's... Why did Halifax fall apart?
See, I think that the rationale is they want to try and start, you know, because... We don't know. I mean, Halifax started to fall apart a little bit before COVID, but COVID really derailed it. But it's still working in the shadows. They're still trying to make it work. But at this point, you want to move this game around to try and drum up interest in the league. Especially in Nova Scotia, where you're looking at a place where you're going to have to draw from just more than just the initial market, right? They're calling it Atlantic for a reason. They're going to try and draw fans in from, you know, all of the,
from four bloody provinces.
Yeah. Because the population isn't huge out there, you know, and your ratio to people who are going to go to a game versus watch it on TV, it's not as high as it used to be. So you've got to draw from as many places you can. So, you know, put the game in Wolfville, put it in Antigonish. Will, what's the name of that city? Yeah, that's it. Can never say that one, you know, where St. Mary's is, you know.
Isn't St. Mary's in Halifax?
God, St. FX. I am.
You really need to brush up on your U Sports, Clay.
Oh, man. I used to be able to just rattle off all this stuff without even thinking. And when they took it off regular TV, just...
Yeah, that kind of pooched it.
So I think the lesson in that is U Sports needs to get back on the television.
It's for me or fine. I am. They need to find some avenues to kind of bring some people like me back, but also keep the new people in. So what that is, I don't know. You know, maybe me is, you know, I might go to some more U Sports games. That's probably what really kept me in it when I was really following. We were going to the Yates Cup and the Vanier every year.
I mean,
So
I used to go. I mean, the Vanier Cup on occasion.
Yeah, and I keep looking. You know, trying to get my, you know, want to go to take my kids out and trying to figure it out. And even, now that my parents are in Guelph, I'll probably have more of a reason to go see Guelph play. Not too, you
Griffins.
Know. Yep. And the stadium's not too bad. You know exactly where it is. So
we played games there. I would say, I would hope so.
we've had training camp there.
Yes, I would hope.
So yeah, maybe we'll have to bring Marsh on. He loves his U Sports. So we'll have to bring Marsh on and try and figure out, you know, what they're doing that would spark our interest a little bit more, because he knows that he's got to know they're doing something, or at least know more where things can be found that we probably didn't even think about.
You could also go with Mount Allison too, to be fair.
Yeah.
Out in Sackville, which is like right in the middle between Moncton and, well, actually I wouldn't say it's the middle, but I'd say it's like, it's close to Moncton and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't know why Halifax, well, I guess Moncton was not available, but I don't know.
I think your question is, why does the league have such a hard on for Halifax?
And if they couldn't get Halifax, why hold the thing of old? You know, why hold the thing? Period.
Well, I think that's when you go back to you're trying to create that interest, right? And, you know, if you're going to have at least one game there a year, you know, there's going to be at least a little bit of interest. But as soon as you take that away and don't bring it back until they get a team, you're out of sight, out of mind. You're going to be, you know, really building from scratch at that point. So, it's a tough thing to do that. Like, it really is, because, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, I guess. But TD Atlantic, those tickets go on sale on April 26th. So you'll be able to get your tickets for that game then. And I'm likely not going to be a ton. So you want to go, get in early.
Exactly. Get in early. because especially since we know that the Riders are one of the best traveling teams in the league.
And I'm sure they've exported people to Nova Scotia.
Oh, guaranteed.
I would be more shocked if they hadn't. If there aren't people from Saskatchewan in every corner of this country, because honestly, sometimes it's not the place you want to stay. Coming from a guy who is from Saskatchewan. Said it. I'm going to anger some Saskatchewan fans, but
Take it from a transplant. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have the choice.
You were only 10 at the time.
Yeah. But now, knowing what I know now, it's no longer, it's not something I would choose to do. So. Well, with, and I mean, speaking of tickets, you know, we I mentioned it right off the bat. The Argos home opener is coming up Thursday, June 16th against the Montreal Alouettes. They've got, the Argos have a pre-sale ticket where season ticket holders can get tickets at pretty much face value, no Ticketmaster charges, anything like that. So you just use the code pull together.
Fight the fo. No, look, guys, we will, look at Toronto. If we want, this team went 9-5 last year. You know, they've invested a ton on the field to put out a good product. You know, they haven't rested on their laurels in this offseason. They've made moves that they feel will improve the team. Come out.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a good game against, you know, Montreal.
And look at it this way. I mean, $25 for a ticket. You're not going to get into many sporting events for $25 a ticket anymore.
No.
You know,
there's not a lot of stuff in the city of Toronto that you can do for $25.
Come on out to a game. There is tailgating.
Yep. We all participate in that.
Yep.
You know, bring your own cups.
Bring your own cups, bring your food, bring your barbecues, bring, you know, however you want to cook some food, have some fun, throw the ball around, play some cornhole, you know, and it's building and building, and it's, you know, it's a great time. We're in the south parking lot of BMO Field, and I know there are tailgates that are popping up in various other parking lots too. I know the Northwest parking lot, there are some people tailgating up there as well. So I am actually probably going to take the day off and get down there nice and early. Sign my kids out of school. Don't tell my wife that.
Does she listen to the show?
No, she does not listen to the show.
Well, then what are you going to worry about?
Well, I am recording the show in the same house as her, so
she wouldn't be near. She's not near shot, though, is she?
Yeah, there's a floor and some insulation between us.
There you go. As long as you're not too loud, she'll never know.
I could probably get away with it as long as the big one doesn't have an exam.
Oh yeah, exams.
But he is late. He wouldn't miss it for the world anyway. So Argos home opener, June 16th against the Montreal Alouettes. Get your tickets at argonauts.ca/tickets. Season ticket holders can now get them at extra ones at face value, extra single game tickets at face value for the home opener. So if you want to go, you're not a season ticket holder. One, you should be. Two, find a season ticket holder and they'll get you cheaper tickets that you can get on Ticketmaster.
And come sit with us in section 116.
And we don't, but you know, the Double Blue Order has flags to hand out.
And maybe if you're lucky, they'll let you wave a flag.
There's a reason why we chant sometimes we're the best section in the league. And we honestly think that.
Oh,
section,
yeah.
Section 116 is the place you want to be in the stadium. Not 120. Not 114, as much as we love them. But
116.
We brag. We've got the swagger about it, and we've proven it. So,
honestly, I had more fun. And 16, I was there last season for the first year in the end zone, and I had more fun going to Argo games last year than I have in a long time. Great time. Loud.
Yeah, we get loud. We show our passion. We do what we do to help our team win the game. So it's very much, this is very much, if you want to sit with us, it's very much audience participation.
Yes.
And we're not a sit on your hands section.
No. No, so, you know, bring your voices.
Bring your voices. Bring your cowbells. As much as people hate them, bring the pump horns. Bring
anything.
The vuvuzelas, yes.
Yeah.
Vuvuzelas.
I knew Will would have it at least a little bit.
Those annoying things.
Drink beer out of one at the tailgate, and then bring it into the stadium and use it throughout the game. That's an old school trick that I saw several years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I went on an Old Faithful's bus trip to Hamilton.
Oh, I've been on one of those. When they still existed.
Yeah. Yep. There's a reason why they had old in their name. they weren't exactly spring chickens.
Oh, they're good people, though.
Oh, they were. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're nearing down the end of it, so I think we really have to do this.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
April Fool's Day was some time ago, and unfortunately, the Argos didn't really do anything, but... one of our good friends, Argo Fluffy, did, and oh my god, dude, why did you do this? Why, oh why did you do this? He did the CFL color swap game, where he put them in double blue and us in black and yellow. I threw up in my mouth seeing it.
Oh,
and looking at it right now, it's making me ill. There are certain there's certain things I'm willing to take certain things to a limit. Okay, that is going beyond it.
Yeah,
that was just wrong. Very, very wrong. Fluffy, I love you, but that is just wrong.
Morally wrong.
Morally, well, it's wrong on several different levels.
Yeah.
As I like to say, that is something that is along the lines of Seven Shades of Fucked Up. It's not 50. 50 is other things. Those other things, but that's definitely Seven Shades of Fucked.
Yep.
Let's talk Chad Kelly for a second. He's really on board with us now.
Yeah.
He is all in. I mean, I was not expecting that, like, that out of him. Really wasn't.
And he's I'm really loving the attitude that he's bringing here. I'm really liking it.
Oh, it's definitely the American swagger that he's bringing to it. You know, he's even calling out MLSE for not being able to find Argos gear.
Well, good for him. He's right.
He said what the three of us have been saying for what, the last 5 years plus.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure other hardcore fans have been saying the same thing for equally as long. And all it took was a relative of Buffalo's greatest quarterback.
Well, I mean, Buffalo, so.
What? Bills Mafia? It was Clay. It wasn't me.
Bring it up.
Go put him through the table. I'll watch.
Bring it up. It's a different league, but Finn's up.
Oh. Yeah, I have no dog in the fight, so I... Because as I probably stated on this program, every NFL team that I try to follow ends up going with a losing record or really shitting the bed the following year after I say, you know what, I'm going to check these guys out. Next thing you know, 3-13. Ugh. And if anyone is ever going to suggest to me to follow the Jets, I have standards, you know? Okay? I have standards. I will never cheer for a team that created the butt fumble. Ever. Okay?
People say a lot of shit. Poor Matthew Schnetti.
People say a lot of shit about the CFL, but one thing that they've never had has been a butt fumble. They've had a lot of other crazy things happen, but no butt fumbles.
Yeah, at least the Kerwin Bell crotch spike didn't really get named.
No, but I mean the Kerwin Bell crotch spike was funny. It was funny because it was after the play, and he got a penalty for it.
And then he got knocked over by
Winnipeg.
Yeah, that made it even fun. Like we all think that's. I mean, yes, he was on our team when it happened, but it was funny. It was hilarious. It was like the Nala Tours promo that they had several years ago. We all knew that lady was going for the end zone. We all knew that she was going to go tumbling through the side, but we didn't care because we cheered her on, damn it, because we wanted to see it happen.
Are we talking about the lady doing the contest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The video clip that the Argos made private for some reason.
Maybe she didn't want it. Seen anymore.
Damn it, that was one of the best things ever.
Yeah. I was in the family section for that one, and even the family section with no alcohol was going nuts. It was awesome.
Did you want to say something?
Go ahead.
No, because I was going to mention tweets from Kazakhstan now.
That's exactly where I was going.
Okay. He's had some humdingers.
Yeah. He's been, you know, it's off season. He's been a little subdued. And, you know, there's some things going on in that part of the world, too, that, you know, taking a little bit of his eye off of the boatman.
But one thing I liked was a tweet to big old Mr. Kamish, Randy Ambrosi, because he tested positive for COVID-19. We wish him all the best in his recovery. But he could not make a meet and greet in Montreal. And I think our friends from Kazakhstan are on to the cure. I know it's a little controversial, but he said drink goat's milk.
You know, that seems to be his solution for a lot of things. So
yak milk.
Yak milk specifically.
Yak yes. milk, goat's milk, you know. He drinks a few. He doesn't drink a lot of cow.
No.
No, they have no cow in Kazakhstan, I guess.
The cow would probably eat the steps. Mm. But yeah, that was one good one.
The other one, I mean, not so much funny, but he was he quoted somebody who was claiming as Volodymyr Zelensky as their new short king. He took the chance to welcome Brandon Banks to the team. We like our new hero, Brandon. It is as clean as a post-workout shower at a potassium mine. He was born in a new city. This is a new initiative with winners. Opponents tremble with fear.
Quake with fear.
That is bloody poetic.
Yeah, and you know, he's hailing our new short king, as the Ukrainians are hailing their new short king. I like it. I very much like it.
Speaking of tweets from Kazakhstan, Adam Kruger is no longer with the Argonauts.
We wish him all the best, but whoever's taking over for him, you got some big shoes to fill, bud.
Yep.
And whoever has scooped up Adam.
You bastards.
You
give him back, damn it.
You have no idea what you have. You think you're getting something good, you're getting something even better than you think you're getting. Trust me. Wherever his travels, I'm sure we will find out soon enough where he lands. But I think with that does it for the show this week. We want to thank Enoch Mwamba for joining us to talk about his role in the Combine, what he's looking forward to with the Sargo team and his fundraising initiative. We'll put out those links for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada fundraiser for blood cancers on our socials. And you can always go to Enoch Mwamba's socials. He's got the link right in there as well. Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, The Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder. On Twitter at Double Blue Order. On Instagram at The Double Blue Order. Make sure you get your law firm t-shirts while you can still get them this season. DoubleBlueOrder.ca.
Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or join up at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. Make sure you go out and get your Argos tickets for the home opener. Talk to you next time. We've got some great Argos news for you.